gonna need all the help we can get.
Let's get to work.
It's all dark and horny at 12 o'clock.
I've been waiting 40 years for this.
They called themselves Ghostbusters. According to these hacks, they saved the world. No eyewitnesses. And who is found to carry the torch? Descendants of Egon Spengler. You have a miner hanging out the side of a moving vehicle, firing a laser gun indiscriminately.
It has a proton pack.
It's completely safe.
I wouldn't say completely safe.
The Ghostbusters are finished.
Right. Well, overruled.
Sustained.
Thank you.
They're saying that 2024 is the year of like the reboot and the sequel and the prequel, and that is true. A lot of the big blockbusters this year are either sequels or prequels to movies. And so I wanted to sort of look beyond this year and into next year and maybe even the year after that, 2025 and 2026.
Oh.
But I'm talking about TV shows. So they're rebooting a bunch of beloved classics that I know you love for a fact. And so I want to read some of these and get your opinion on, or just your stance on these new series coming out.
Okay.
The first one is going straight to Max, and it is going to be the Harry Potter reboot. It's going to be one season equals one book, and they're going to go into much more detail. How do you feel about this? Because I know you love the Harry Potter series.
I'm excited about that. I like the more detail aspect of it. What is going to be hard is obviously the characters are not going to be played by their original characters. And so I think it's going to be hard to see our beloved characters not played by the people that we envision when we think of them.
I think that it's going to be very hard for anyone to kind of fill those shoes because yes. There's an entire generation that just grew up with like Rupert Grint and Hermione Emma Watson as Hermione and Daniel Radcliffe. I mean, even the side characters like Draco and Severus Snape and Dumbledore. I mean, like, it's going to be a tough shoes for these people to fill.
Right. Like, it may not feel like Harry Potter because Harry Potter is Daniel Radcliffe.
And they did actually say we're not going to bring anybody back. It's going to be all new casting, which is great.
If you're not going to bring everyone back, don't bring one person back.
And I don't think you should bring anybody back, quite honestly, unless it's like a background actor. And that's only because, like, they did the damn thing.
And now they're too old to play those characters.
Right, but like bringing back Harry or Daniel Radcliffe as anybody, or bringing back even like the guy who played Goyle, like bringing him back. It's just like, let this thing be its own thing. If you're going to let it go in more depth and you're trying to make it more in line with the books and you want it to be its own thing and you're trying to escape like the shadow that is the Harry Potter franchise already, just don't cast anybody that's already been in it.
Right.
Just let it be its own thing.
But no, I'm definitely excited for that because I'm excited for the more in detail, in depth take on the movie book series.
Yeah.
Because I shamefully have never read the Harry Potter books.
Mm.
I think I read like the first two.
I did the same thing. I read the first two in full and then I read Deathly Hallows.
Yes. So shamefully, I have never read all the books. So I'm looking forward to more details on getting really diving deep into the wizarding world.
That is about the only reason I'm excited for this. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think we even need it. I mean, I was going to say just ended, but holy fuck, it was like 13 years ago. That is crazy to think about. Wow. you guys are listening to me realize my age in real time. But I'm excited to see them go in depth and like pick up on the things that the book had that the movies just couldn't quite fit in there. Because if you think about it, these movies are 2.5 hours. You can only fit so much of a book in 2.5 hours.
And the books are big.
The books are big. Yeah. Especially for like YA books. Books in general, but like YA books especially.
Yeah.
The next series was just announced like 2 days ago. It is Pirates of the Caribbean. It is being rebooted and moving forward without Johnny Depp. And it's all the details we have. There were rumors that they were going to do the all-female reboot. That they were going to do a reboot without Johnny Depp. Turns out they're just going the route with no Johnny Depp. And it's not an all-female reboot. We don't have any of that. So before the haters come out of the woodworks and they're like, why are they doing this? Clear jets. But it is a Pirates of the Caribbean reboot without Johnny Depp. How do we feel?
Big X.
You're gonna skip that?
Yeah. Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow is the only... And I'm not gonna say the only good part of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, I mean...
But he is Pirates of the Caribbean.
Like, he's Captain Jack fucking Sparrow.
Pirates of the Caribbean is not interesting. It's not funny. You don't have the adventures without Captain Jack Sparrow.
And Johnny Depp just embodies that role. Oh, we talk God, about like characters it. Who are actors who are born to play roles. Mm-hmm. And I think Johnny Depp, unfortunately for him, because I know he like would prefer to probably be known for something else. He is Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
Like I think of him and Johnny Depp and or I think of Johnny Depp and Captain Jack Sparrow as like the same right. person.
Quite like honestly. The mannerisms, the way he plays
yeah,
him
is it's just perfect.
Like, yes.
Down to the last detail, it is perfect.
It's so funny. No, I will not. I probably will not watch those.
I just don't think it's necessary. And listen, I wasn't a big Pirates fan until COVID hit and you were like, let's watch all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. And I was like, okay, I don't really like these movies, but sure. I ended up liking them a lot, actually. But I'm not like, I don't adore them. They don't hold a special place in my heart. So it's like, I don't give a shit if they reboot it. I just don't think they should without Johnny Depp. Because he is the lifeblood of that. Yeah. I only watched the last like two or three because, I mean, the rest of the cast leaves and it's just him and like a bunch of new people every fucking time. I do think the villains get a little more cool as the series goes on, but I mean, it's just Captain Jack Sparrow. Like, that's all I care about.
I think the villains in the first one where it's the curse and they all turn into, like, skeletons, the undead.
Yeah, no, that is cool. That is cool, too.
It's really cool.
Yeah. I just think, like, the Davy Jones. Is he's Dead Man's Chest, right? Which is, like, one of the last ones.
Third?
Yeah, Davy Jones. I really liked him as a villain.
I think Blackbeard is the
fourth. Blackbeard. Yep. So I just think that there's no real need or clamoring for, like, a reboot. And if you're going to do anything, just use Johnny Depp. You know what yes. I mean? Just go that route.
I'm just, like, a spinoff about Captain Jack Sparrow.
What do you mean a spinoff of Captain Jack Sparrow?
Like, instead of...
Just his solo missions? Like, just him doing...
Let's do a spinoff that follows Captain Jack Sparrow.
That's hilarious. It's just him, like, drinking in a bar for fucking five episodes straight. That's all... I would watch that. Yeah, as long as it's Johnny Depp. The next one I have for you has caused quite a stir online.
Oh.
And I saw a poll that said... are you going to watch this? And the overwhelming majority, at like 70-something percent, said no.
Oh.
It is the animated version of Twilight.
See, this makes me sad. I'm a big Twilight girl, but I'm not a huge... I'm not going to say animation girl because, like, Disney has my heart. But, like, Twilight in animation just feels silly to me.
It just adds an extra layer of... silliness to it that it just doesn't need.
Foolish.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more.
And you know, you're not going to be able to capture the feeling of like the filmography. Is that a word? In Twilight, like the rain and the environment. You're not going to be able to capture that in an animated version of it. At least not in like the aspect where like you truly feel like when like a rainy day you feel like, oh my god, it's twilight time,
right?
You're just not going to get that with an animation, and I think it could be goofy like the vampires animated. It's just going to be goofy.
I think the perfect word is goofy. It's going to be goofy. It's going to be ridiculous, and they either need to lean into that, which I mean then it becomes a parody of itself and it's like, who really wants to watch that? Like,
right.
Who's that for? And or they've got to just like axe this. I think it should be, if they're going to do a reboot, it should be live action. And it should be a TV show like Harry Potter, because then you can get more in depth. I'm just picturing like a cartoon of Jacob saying, "There you are, Bella." Or like,
Loca.
You know, yeah, Loca, that shit. And then like the, oh, you're my little spider monkey, or the, oh, say it. And she's like, vampire.
Spider monkey.
Or like, how are they going to show these dudes glittering? Like, it's just awesome. It's just so ridiculous already. And to add it into animation, it's like, let's just go the full route of like Family Guy and Simpsons and just parody this shit, and then at that point you're alienating the real fans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a rock and hard place, and I just think it's a no go. I think this just needs to not happen.
It's not going to go over well.
Yeah, the audience on Discussing Film has a massive audience, and 70-something% of people said absolutely not.
If you want to continue with making Twilight things, great. But how about we make it about Jacob and Renesmee, because now they're together and they're.
Whoa, what?
Jacob and Renesmee.
Is that in the book or anything?
It's in the end of the movie, honey.
Yeah, I know he imprints on her, but I don't remember them like getting married or
anything. Yeah, at the end of the movie, it shows her grown up and they're sitting.
Oh, when Bella's like, when Bella's looking into the future. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I did forget about that part. I forgot that that happened. Yeah, you're right.
But it's like, let's follow them.
Yeah.
Or let's follow the freaking pack, like the werewolf pack, mm-hmm. and get more in depth with like their legends. And
could do a prequel with the Volturi.
A prequel of the Volturi. Exactly. Like, there's so many storylines to do that would satisfy Twilight fans.
Here's my idea. Are you ready? Just follow...
Or even, like, Carlisle. Sorry. I just got excited. Following Carlisle's early life, because he's the oldest one out of all of them. He's been a part of the Volturi. He's turned most of them. Like, that's a really cool concept, too.
Follow Chief Swanson. Just follow him around town, like, before Bella comes, after Bella comes, just his perspective.
From the whole series.
Just him being like, what the fuck is Bella getting up to? And just
literally
being a dad.
Sitting on the couch drinking a beer, being like, oh, where is Bella?
90%
tonight?
Of the movie would be him in that diner, just like, where's Bella?
Or him investigating all the vampire crimes.
Yeah, yeah, especially in the first one. He'd have a lot more to do in the first one because he's like, he's got to investigate the people going missing.
Right.
So, I mean, you could do stuff with it. I just don't think we need the story to be retold again at all.
No.
So.
Well, that is, do you remember when I read the book that was from, it was from yes. Edward's point of view?
Yes.
So they came out with the Twilight book that is literally the entire thing through Edward's eyes instead of Bella's. And I was like, I'm reading the same book.
So here's the problem, too, I have with this being live action is, like, it could never be live action because I think people look at Bella and Edward and they're like, this is Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart, who, by the fucking way, I'm obsessed with now. I've always really liked Kristen Stewart, but after watching Love Lies Bleeding, I'm like, chef's kiss, put this woman in fucking everything. Put her in everything. I've been watching interviews with her. You sent me an interview with her today.
Yeah.
I've been watching them. They're flooding my page on Instagram. They're targeting me with them. And it's just like, I love this woman. Mm-hmm. She needs to be in everything. She's fantastic. Please stop hating her.
So in the video that I sent Kyle, Kristen Stewart, they were showing her outfit choices that Bella had made. And she's like, this is Forks. We're Rands all the time. And I'm wearing my glovies.
My glovies is what killed me. I was like, I love this woman. She's like, I got my glovies. I was like, oh, you melt my heart, woman. I love it. That's a no-go for me, quite honestly. If it was, I feel like if it wasn't animated, I'd give it more of a shot.
I don't watch any animated, like, cartoon shows.
Yeah, you're very anti-animation movies. Unless it's, like, a Disney movie. That's
I'll watch
it.
Animated movies, but, like, as far as, like, a animated cartoon series, no. And that's what you said they're doing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be an animated series. So, I'm with you.
TV show series.
Yes.
Terrible.
Yeah, I don't like it. The last one I have for you is not quite beloved by everybody, but I know you have a special place in your heart for it, and it is Chronicles of Narnia. It's getting rebooted, and the director of the whole thing and writer is going to be Greta Gerwig.
I like that. I like that a lot, because Narnia, I feel like there's so much they can explore with that
world. Oh my
god,
yeah. I mean, the series has like 25 books, for Christ's sake.
Right. And even like in the movies, like the characters kind of shift already.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it wouldn't be that big of a deal to like have new characters and just follow a TV series where like you get so much more in depth than Narnia. I'm also in my fantasy girl era. So a Narnia TV show, as long as it's live action.
Right. Yeah, it will be live action. Yeah.
I'm all in.
I love this because I think it was so mishandled as a franchise, as a movie franchise. And I don't have an emotional attachment to any of the actors playing any of the characters. So I truly do think this has the chance to be the most successful out of all of them.
It could be like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because there's no expectation.
Uh-huh.
Just go, because no one's holding those movies in high regard. You know, they might have this like nostalgia bait, but like no one like cares that much. So you can go in and literally do a Game of Thrones to this if you wanted to.
And I love that Greta Gerwig's doing it because she's a big enough name right now that they can actually get like proper funding and make a good TV show.
The only thing that gives me pause is it's Disney. And Disney tends to choke the creativity out of all of their directors because they don't let them, they have a very specific mold that they go for and a template that they use because they don't want to ruffle feathers. And I think Greta Gerwig is very famous for being a bit abstract, a bit loosey-goosey.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really hope they just let her do her thing and stay hands-off. And this thing could be... Because we're always... you and I do this all the time. It's going to be the next Game of Thrones. When's the next Game of Thrones coming? This has a true chance of being that if they decide to, like, dump money into it. because it's a fantasy world that can also bridge into ours. There's 20 some odd books they can work off of. The characters are so fresh, you can get new actors to come in. Yeah. And like you said, Greta Gerwig's there. So one, you can have insane names attached to this. You can get proper funding right. and good actors and actresses to jump into this.
Right. Like, they're literally could do what I want to be done with ACOTAR. Like, why couldn't Greta Gerwig be the director of the ACOTAR series and not have it be on freaking Hulu?
Right. And also, good news for you, Margot Robbie is, like, trying very hard to get the rights to all of the Sarah J. Maas have you seen that? Productions. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. They've had a bunch of coffee dates, and they've been, like, talking about it. Good. And I know she wants them. And Hulu has frozen them, basically, because they got bombarded with hate messages, and they were like, we have no plans to move forward at this point.
Was it, Margot Barbie came out on HBO Max, right?
Max, yep.
So Margot Robbie is an association with Max.
Yes, because Margot's production company worked with WB, the Warner Brothers, who own Max. Well, used to own Max. They're now owned by Discovery. Uh-huh. Discovery Warner. They've merged together. So yeah, it would potentially go to Max.
That'd be great. That would give it what it needs.
Did you see the production value for Barbie? If they dump that into an ACOTAR series, it's going to be great.
That'd be so exciting. Let's give the ACOTAR girlies what we need, guys.
Hell yeah. So, I mean, we did the thing. We did the pre-roll. Let's go ahead and jump into what we're doing and why the hell we're doing this movie.
Kitchen sewer dragon.
Hold on your ass!
Phoebe Spangler, you stay inside this car.
I have a ghost of us.
So as far as I know, you've never been a huge Ghostbusters fan. I know that you only pretty much watch Afterlife because I was so excited to watch it that when it finally came out on streaming, it came out on video on demand, actually. I bought it as soon as it came out. And I was like, we're watching this fucking movie. And you enjoyed it. I remember you like being like, that was decent. Decent enough that you didn't mind watching the new one. But you have not seen the original two.
No.
Nor do you care to ever see the original two because you have a hard time watching anything that came out before the year 2000. which is fair. Hey, you know, that's fine. I don't think you would have liked the originals, to be honest with you. But it does, watching the originals does definitely impact the story being told throughout all of these films. I, on the other hand, have always been a huge Ghostbusters fan. I've loved them. I used to watch the VHS constantly. It would piss my parents off. They'd be like, please stop watching this. Pretty sure they actually destroyed the first copy of Ghostbusters I had. So I had to get a second copy of Ghostbusters. And at that point, I had actually decided I liked Ghostbusters 2 more. So I'd rewatch that one. And that's much worse than the original one. So my dad was like, I got to take this and destroy this one now.
I can literally picture little Kyle walking around going, who you gonna call? Ghostbusters.
Oh, I did. I used to do this thing. You know where I pick up random objects around the house and I go, hello, no one's there. And I put it down and you're like, that's not funny. It's funny to like two people, me and Colin. But that originated because I would watch Ghostbusters so much that I'd walk around and I'd pick up random objects and go, who are you going to call? And I'd hold up the object to like my parents and be like, say the thing. Say the thing. And they'd be like, Ghostbusters. And I'd be like, yeah. Like 6-year-old me.
And I think maybe your fascination with scary movies came from the fact that you ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Yeah, that one in the chamber. You did that. That's
little
good.
You, little
That's
you good. Watching scary movies just for Saturday and Ghostbusters. I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
I think it probably, you know, I probably, there's something to that. Probably that was like, I can't be afraid of ghosts because the Ghostbusters, I got to be a Ghostbuster someday. So no, I really loved the Ghostbusters growing up. And it kind of killed me that when Afterlife came out, it dawned on me that I had not seen the Ghostbusters movies since I was probably like 10 or 12.
Yeah.
When I lost, quote unquote, lost the VHS copies that I had. Yeah. So I rewatched them for the first time in a long time recently. So it definitely impacted how I viewed this movie.
Yeah.
But we'll get into my thoughts and feelings on that. We'll get into yours. But that's what we're covering. We're covering Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which is the latest movie in the franchise.
Yeah, and I've actually never seen the original Ghostbusters, as Kyle said. I've only seen Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yes.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Yep. And
the 2016 All Ladies.
I'm
going to
call it Melissa McCarthy Ghostbusters.
You know, I found out the other day it has a subtitle. I never knew this. It's called Ghostbusters Answer the Call.
Oh.
I never knew that.
You know what I did find fun? Is that the fire station that they stay in, that they live in, is the same fire station in that movie.
Yeah.
So it just kind of ties it together.
Yeah, and also...
But it's also a Chinese store in that.
Yeah, but also one of the... I cannot remember which one of the... I can't remember which... I haven't seen the 2016 one in a long time. But the... one of the original Ghostbusters actually shows up in that movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn... I was like, are they actually going to do this? Are they going to really tie this into the OGs? And then they just abandoned... They were like, no, throw it away, quick.
But that cast is so funny. Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Crazy Barbie...
Oh, Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon.
And Leslie Jones.
It's so good.
Chris Hemsworth. Yeah.
It's just, that's my type of
movie. Amazing. I found out the other day that a lot of the stuff that Chris Hemsworth did in that movie was just like him. Just being
I love that.
Which makes it so much more endearing and funny. Yeah. And Melissa McCarthy was like, because she was talking about how he's naturally just that funny and charming. And I was like, of course he is. It's Chris Hemsworth. Obviously. Okay, so before we keep gushing about Chris Hemsworth, we need to move on, because we will talk about him for years. Let's just go ahead and jump into Frozen Empire. Let's start with the positives. I kind of want to just, like, be nice to the movie for a minute before we get into, like, the nitty-gritty of, like, a lot of the stuff I didn't like. Kumail Nanjiani and Paul Rudd are the backbone of this movie. They are hilarious, as always. Mm-hmm. They shine so fucking bright. McKenna Grace is good, but rewatching Afterlife, she's so much better in that movie than this. And I feel like they changed her character way too much. She's like young Sheldon in Afterlife, and in this one she's like just a teenage girl who's lonely. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to watch that. I wanted to watch the slightly autistic one.
She's not a teenage girl. I'm a Ghostbuster. How many times did she say that?
Like 500. They're like, how old are you? She's like 15. And they're like, you're not a Ghostbuster then.
But that's child labor laws.
Yeah. But how did you feel about those characters?
I loved both of them. I also really liked Finn Wolfhard's character.
Yeah, he's okay.
I thought he was funny too.
I think my issue is that, I wanted to be positive, but I kind of have to get into the negatives here, is that there's too many fucking characters in this
movie.
There's
so many characters.
There's so many fucking characters. And it's not even just like, we have the original family from the Afterlife movie, the Spanglers. They come back with Paul Rudd, right? So there's four. And then you have the original Ghostbusters come back. So there's another four right there. Or another three, because unfortunately, a couple of them have passed now. So then you
there's four of them though.
No, because the lady, I cannot remember her name for the life of me. She wasn't actually one of the Ghostbusters.
Oh.
She was their secretary. She was their Chris Hemsworth. She was their Chris Hemsworth. Yeah. So then you have her, that makes eight. And then you have, Lars, who's a new character who they don't really he's just like there all of a sudden. He's one of the technicians. He comes in and he's the blonde one with the accent and the glasses.
Yeah.
Then you have Lucky, who's from Afterlife. Then you have Podcast, who's from Afterlife as well. So there's what, 11 already. Then you have Patton Oswalt's character, Kumail Nanjiani's character. That makes 13. And then you have Melody is 14. Gracchus is 15, who we spend very little time with. So, I mean, you're looking at 15 characters right there. And, oh, the mayor, who is actually from the original movie, 16. You have 16 characters you're trying to balance out.
And they're
what the fuck is going on?
And they're following, like, different storylines.
See, okay, yes, they give them way too much to do that you don't get any in-depth analysis or in-depth look into who these characters are, what the fuck they're trying to do, what their goal is. We get a very cursory glance. It's the most basic look into teenage life with McKenna Grace, her character. And that just sucked because she was so good in the first one. That in this one, it's like, I'm a lonely teenager and I can't believe they're treating me like a teenager.
Well, let's talk about all the freaking storylines. So first off, you have McKenna Grace that they've now decided that she's too young and she can't work with the Ghostbusters anymore because child labor laws. And they're like, oh, we're not paying her. They're like, oh, well, that's another problem.
Yeah, that's also illegal.
So we have her. She can't be a Ghostbuster anymore. She's so upset about that. She's feeling lonely, like she's lost her purpose. So that's one of her storylines. Second, she meets this ghost girl and
Melody
and really has an attachment to her.
I couldn't quite tell. It felt like it was a love attraction.
Yes.
And you had pointed out that you thought it was love attraction too, and I was like, okay, cool, I just don't want to make it weird. Like, I don't know if I was putting a spin on that. or if that, because it also felt like they were just friends, but also felt like they're flirting throughout the whole thing. And I was like, I just can't tell what's going on here, to be honest with you.
Right. Then we have Finn Wolfhard,
who wants to be a man. He's 18 now.
18. And he's making sure everyone knows that he's 18 and he can handle his own.
He's stuff. Trying to prove he's a man and he can do anything on his own.
You have that storyline. Then you have Paul Rudd's storyline of being like, am I their stepdad? Do I parent them? Do right. I like.
What? Where's the line? Where's the boundary that I can and can't cross?
Right. He's like, I'm just like their step teacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he doesn't know about the boundaries. So there's that storyline.
The mom, can I be honest?
Yeah.
Her story is non-existent, essentially. No, it's just like, mom, your story is mom.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, dude. You could have done anything else with her, and instead she just relegated her to angry mom. Right. Like, come on, dude.
Then we have the ghost chamber that is full.
Yeah.
And it's starting to crack. So they
Which would release all the ghosts that they've caught back out.
Rice. Right. So then we have the storyline where it goes into, oh, this old Ghostbuster has built this new research center with a new ghost chamber, but it's going to take 7 years of 24/7 work to transfer all the ghosts to this new chamber. You have that storyline. You also have this mysterious orb that another Ghostbuster has bought in from Camille
Nanjiani's
character.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd's character buys the sphere that Gracchus, the ultimate big bad in the movie, is like stuck in.
That has a lot of ghost energy.
Yeah.
They buy this orb, so then you have that where they're kind of like experimenting with that. Then you have Camille Nanjiani's character come in.
Oh my god, right?
And he's the Fire Lord, and we're following his ancestry.
Right, we get such deep in the lore that it's like he's a fire god and he's the fire keeper and he's meant to keep the fire so that way Gracchus, who is all pure ice, can't like take over. Mm-hmm. I was like, cool, but you're doing way too much.
Right? Then we have the mayor that's trying to shut the Ghostbusters down and take their building.
Which, by the way, he's from the original movie. He plays the environmental specialist and is elected mayor at some point between then and now.
Yep. And then you have the big bad.
Gracchus. I think that's his name. I don't want to say it wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's Gracchus.
Freezes New York City in the middle of July and frees a whole lot of spirits.
Ghosts. Yeah, he frees a bunch of the... he ends up blowing up that tank where they kept all the ghosts.
Where do they go? Did they address that?
As far as I know, no. No. Right. They never did.
He blew up the tank,
and then he had like a little few ghost minions working for him, but they never addressed like them capturing the ghosts.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that what it was probably when Gracchus got sucked in at the end. Spoiler alert. Which, if you're listening to this, come on. You know, you're spoiled. But when Gracchus gets sucked into the chamber that they've, the new chamber that they've made, or the refurbished chamber, or whatever the fuck it is. I'm assuming he just, you know, when he's gone, all the ghosties go. You know what I mean? It's kind of one of those things where like, they're attached to him. I don't fucking know. I have to admit that these storylines could have been interesting if they had just picked two or three, fleshed them out, and dug into them. I loved the lore surrounding Gracchus. I loved Camille Nanjiani's character's lore of, like, the fire god. It just got so silly and so... The movie didn't know when to take itself seriously and when to joke around. And that's fine in some certain instances. But with this, it just bothered me because I was like, you're spending so much time talking about this fire god shit. And it's all like, it's going to save the day, or it's going to save or break the day. And then in the end, it doesn't really matter.
Right. There's so much going on. It's so heavy with characters and plot lines.
And Patton Oswalt's character gets like 25 minutes of expositional screen time. All he does is tell you the story about Gracchus. He's the professor they go visit.
Yes.
And he's like, here, let me tell you this long-ass story about this orb that I know about and all this shit. And you're like, cool, man, but I also just like spent 20 minutes with you. I'm exhausted. We rambled for 25 fucking minutes. And I love Patton Oswalt. I just feel like this was too many characters with too many stories that the characters and the stories were stretched so thin you could poke a hole right through it.
Yes.
There was no depth. And I'm not, it's Ghostbusters. It doesn't have to be fucking Godfather. It doesn't have to be a fucking Lars von Trier exposition on life. You know what I mean? But I do want to feel like these characters are real and that they exist, and like I want to share their emotions. It's just the most basic, most unearned emotions that they're just throwing at you, being like, here, this is what we're doing now, and take it or leave it. And I'm leaving it. I'm choosing to leave it, because this was a whole bunch of nothing for an hour and 40 minutes, and then for the last 15 minutes is the climax, and it ends, it starts and ends so fucking fast, I didn't even know it started. It pissed me the fuck off.
I just wanted to, I was going to talk about that, but I didn't know if it was part of your notes.
No, let's do it. Let's jump right into it. Let's talk about Gracchus. Let's just go right into it.
So, yes, there are all these subplots, but through this entire movie, you know that Gracchus is going to be the main issue. The main big bad.
He's not even a ghost either. He's like a god.
Yeah.
They've locked this god in this sphere way back. Long time ago.
Yeah, the plasma guns or whatever they're called, they don't even affect him.
Proton packs, right?
Yeah.
Switch me on.
But so this entire movie, you know, you're leading up to them going, they're going to have to fight this big bad.
They honestly made me feel like this was going to be the most intense villain they've ever faced.
Right.
Like, I felt like we were going to get a Thanos level threat because of how much time of like runtime was spent building up this character. That's fine with me.
Right.
Build Gracchus up. Make him fucking terrifying.
And Gracchus was terrifying.
Like, he looked terrifying. Absolutely.
He was scary. He was a very terrifying evil character.
When he has these horns that they ripped off during the story they're telling. Like, oh, he lost his power because they pulled his horns off. And there's a scene where he finds his horns again and he just jams them back into his head. And I was like, here we go. They're going to blend in some really nice horror now with this comedy, which was great. It just didn't go anywhere.
No, because he literally shows up at the firehouse and they go nowhere. Like, I thought there was going to be like a chase through the city. Like, they were going to have to actually battle this guy. He shows up at the firehouse. They're all there. And it lasts about 10 minutes.
No joke. The whole thing. We spent an hour and 40 minutes building up to this moment. I was like, here we go, baby. And I even was excited. I even looked at you and I was like, here we go. We're going to get to see Gracchus in action. And he's like, one frozen breath for you. And oh, shit, you got me.
Right. And then they trap him again. And so this entire movie, you're literally seeing like this orb is trying. It's like speaking to these ghosts to open.
Yes.
Phoebe's new ghost lover turns on her because she is being spoken to by this orb and has promises that it will reunite her with her dead family. And all of these ghosts are going freaky, all crazy because the orb's whispering to them. So this entire movie, it's about this orb opening back up and getting free. And then you have the big scene where Phoebe becomes a ghost herself for 2 minutes.
Yeah, they have this, we skipped over that, but there's this new extraction system that they have where they can extract a ghost from an object. And you could hypothetically do it with a human, but it would only last for 2 or so minutes. Phoebe does that so she can talk to Melody. Melody has tricked her into doing that. So that way Gracchus can do the spell. A human needs to utter the words, but he needs to control the human. So Phoebe turning herself into a ghost meant Gracchus could control her, which meant that her body got to speak while she was knocked unconscious and her consciousness was separated from her. Right. Is this all making sense to you? Because if it's not, that's fine. It doesn't need to make sense. It's Ghostbusters. It's fine. Just go with it.
Right.
But what does suck about this whole thing is that it goes nowhere. Right. It goes nowhere.
All of a sudden, Gracchus.
What a fun name to say, by the way. I like every time I say, I'm like, Gracchus. I just love saying the name Gracchus.
So Phoebe frees Gracchus, and her parents aren't mad at her.
Which was crazy. They're like, we're not mad. Like, we were just worried you were going
to
die,
we
sweetie.
We wanted you to make mistakes, but like not ones like this.
Which was cute. Which was funny. I was like, all right, this is all right. I like Paul Rudd in that. Was like, we're not mad. We wanted you to make mistakes. And I was like, okay, that's good. That's funny. I like that.
But like freeing this evil demon spirit.
Yeah, it was not what we had in mind.
Not what we had in mind, you know?
So yeah, the whole climax takes place in the firehouse. Less than 10 minutes.
Yes.
They get, it's bing, bang, boom, we're done. The OG Ghostbusters show up. They help out. They reconfigure. Well, the only reason I say they do is because honestly only one of them does. I think it's Lars actually who does all the work. The student that is working with Ernie's character. I cannot remember his name for the life of me. And he reconfigures the tank. And they're just like, if we all cross streams and grab him, and Kumail uses his fire, we can just shove him back down in the crack. And I was like, no. No.
Yep.
I was like, you have to be kidding me. And it works on the first try. And I was like, Gracchus, you a bitch. They hyped you up for this. I was like, oh my God. Why? Why did we just spend an hour and 40 minutes talking about this Thanos level threat? It was going to wipe out the earth. People were killed. All of New York was done. The whole city was frozen in 3 feet of ice. And I was like, here we go, a real threat. And then they're like, oh, high school aged girl is just going to go ahead and proton pack this dude back into a crack, which is fine. But I just wanted more hype. Or I wanted more like energy in that finale. Right. I wanted more energy in that climax. More of a, I don't know, conflict.
Exactly.
More issue.
Exactly. Like I wanted it to be like a battle through the city where like actual lives were in danger, and it just never came to that.
Or like just the like an actual main character that we know and have been watching injured in any way. Right. I'm not saying they had to die. It's Ghostbusters. I don't want any of them to die. But like maim them. Harm right. them in some way. No one was ever in any danger here.
I need a little bit more risk to feel the reward.
Yeah, know? It was a lot of buildup for a very poor outcome. Like the reward we got for sitting through all of this buildup was a doggy doo doo. It just fell flat. It just did not work. It did not work at all.
100% agree.
On a nicer note, let me just say this real quick. Everything looks great.
It does.
I thought the effects were fantastic.
Visually, it was a very good movie, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, like, especially in a day and age where visual effects artists are being worked to the bone and churning out project after project after project and not being given adequate time to turn out a budget-worthy film, I think this looks great. I really do. I agree. I think Gracchus looks awesome. I think all of the new ghosts that we meet look great. Slimer was awesome. I loved seeing Slimer again. So, yeah, kudos to them. I think the ice, when the ice spikes start popping up all around New York, that looks great. So, no issues there. It's a very visually stunning movie. It looks fantastic. But that's really all it had going for it.
And the funny moments with
Paul Rudd, Kumail, and McCann. Yeah. This is the thing is I'm really, really, really sad because to me, after watching Afterlife again, McKenna Grace is the MVP of that movie.
Yeah.
And I felt she was the heart and soul. And in this one... She's trying to be the heart and soul, but it feels like she's taking a back seat, and it's not to any specific character. It's to all of the characters. I feel like all of the characters were trying to fight for screen time to convey these really boring, thin stories, and McKenna Grace was just like stuck in that motion too, where she should have been pushed to the forefront. We should have really focused and delved into her, and that does upset me because I was looking forward to this movie, and I am just disappointed. Fun, but disappointed.
Yeah, I totally see where you're coming from.
That's like how I would describe this movie. It's fun, but it's a disappointment. Was there anything else you want to talk about? Anything else in your notes that you had besides Kumail and Paul being absolutely fucking hilarious?
I don't think so. That was a long pause for nothing, but...
A lot of build up for nothing, babe.
I know.
A lot of build up for nothing. Very fitting.
Exactly, just like this movie.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to get to my favorite part.
Yeah. So, let's just move into it then. Do you want to rate this bad boy?
Yeah, I do. Let's do it.
Okay, so I'll let you go first. I'll let you... You have the floor. What are you going to rate this?
I'm going to give this 2.5 ghosts.
Ooh, 2.5 Slimers.
Yes. You know, so this movie, it was somewhat entertaining. It gave me some laughs. I did laugh in the theater.
You laughed a lot. You actually laughed a lot. I was like... kind of surprised because there were moments where I was like, ugh. She's and laughing. I was listening to you and I was like, oh, okay. Maybe I'm the asshole. Maybe I'm just the idiot. But you laughed a lot more than I did.
Yeah. I did find this movie quite funny and that's honestly what gives it its grade because as far as plot line goes, it wasn't great.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
Yeah.
It was just so much build up to no reward. That was my big thing is I wanted more of a battle with the big bad of this movie.
I'm going to echo your sentiments. I'm going to give it 2.5 ghosts as well. 2.5 Slimers.
We agree. Specific. I don't remember the last time we agreed on
this. I'm sure we agreed on like score. Dune or something like that or Twilight.
Oh, probably.
We probably agreed somewhere down the line. Not too long ago. But like you said, I actually did find this movie entertaining, which is all it has to do. It doesn't have to like break barriers or anything. It's just a fun movie about people chasing ghosts.
Right.
But it just gets so bogged down in trying to introduce you to too many characters. It's almost like the movie didn't trust its own plot and was like, how do we make this more interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And they did the most uninteresting thing you can do, which is add too many characters and make the plot take a backseat to all of these fucking people.
Yeah.
It just felt too thin, way too stretched out, and a lot of buildup for absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it was a shame, because I think Gracchus and his backstory, fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic lore. Loved it. Thought it was great. Kumail Nanjiani's character was awesome. I just wish they had kept it there and they hadn't brought back Podcast and Lucky. It's just too much. And those characters didn't do fucking anything this movie. It's like they just had them back because they were like, let's just add characters. Bring them back from Oklahoma. So it's just ultimately incredibly disappointing. A massive letdown. Because I went into this very optimistic and very open-minded.
You were very
excited. Ready to have fun. And I just felt like I was punched in the gut. So 2.5 because everything looks great and I did laugh. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Do you want to know what the Letterboxd community gave us? Yes. Or do you want to guess?
Yeah, I want to guess. You know me. I want to guess. My favorite part. I love guessing. The Letterboxd community probably tore this to shreds.
Yeah.
They probably did not enjoy this as much as we did, because Letterboxd can be a bit stuffy sometimes. And when a movie takes a swing like this and an absolute miss, they eviscerate it. So I'm going to go 2.2.
2.7.
Okay, I'm way off. Wow. Yeah, that's not even close.
I know.
The difference between a 2.2 and a 2.7 is a lot.
Down that rabbit hole of yours.
Okay, 2.7 is not bad. I'll take that. I'll take that. That's a little better than us. I'll take that.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
I think because we operate in half stars and not like in 0.7s yes. or 0.75s, like every quarter star, I think a 2.7 is probably the fairest rating for this movie. Because like 2.5 feels kind of low, but 3 is way too high.
I agree.
So 2.75 would probably be the best, but we don't operate like that here. So I'm going to give it 2.5. 2.7 is great. I'm okay with that.
I agree.
That might be the lowest rated Ghostbusters movies. One of them.
Anyway. I would be interested to see that.
Actually. Let's check it out. I'll look them up.
Okay.
The original Ghostbusters from 1984 has a 3.8.
Wow.
Pretty fucking high.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Ghostbusters 2 from 1989 has a 3.1.
Okay, that's common for a sequel.
It's also a huge dip, which, like you said, very common. Ghostbusters Afterlife has a 3.1. The exact same as Ghostbusters 2. So, like, we're holding steady at least. This movie has a 2.7, obviously. Now, do we count the...
Yes.
Okay. Because it's... Most Ghostbusters fans would not.
Well, I mean, I am.
But I actually like that movie. We're in the minority, I can tell you that. People hated this movie. 2.3.
Oh.
So, of the OG franchise, this is the lowest. But if you include Ghostbusters 2016, it's the second lowest.
No.
Yeah, people did not like that movie for some reason. I mean, I thought it was funny. It was fine.
Yeah.
I love watching people bust ghosts, baby.
All right.
Yeah, read me some reviews. Let's do it. Let's Letterboxd have some.
We're going to start off with a 1.5 star review.
Brutal.
From Grant Templeton.
Okay.
They said, nostalgia bait at its finest. Tough to see a franchise get so tarnished. Cringed dialogue, terrible acting, waste of time for the family.
Okay, first of all, it is a massive nostalgia bait. I had a friend who asked me what I thought of it, and I said, you're a huge fan of it, so you probably like it. Because rewatching the Ghostbusters franchise and watching this, I was like, wow, this movie just straight up rips lines, like straight up rips dialogue from the original movie. Which is funny that person says cringe dialogue, because some of this is ripped straight from the first movie.
Right.
The whole switch me on thing, all that's from the original. Slimer is one of the original ghosts that they ever dealt with. There's a lot of shit that happens in that first movie that directly ties into this. So 50-50 on that. As far as acting goes, wrong.
Yeah, I don't think the acting
terrible
is
like, that's just mean. I don't think it was terrible at all. I do think McKenna Grace's performance was... stifled.
So
it was stifled because she can be good. She was better in Afterlife, but I think it was I think the director probably told her to hold back or something, because she just never fully reached the level she did in the original one.
We have another 1.5 star review next.
Dude, why are you picking these mean ass reviews?
From Lee, and they said, that was crap. They should stop making them. I only enjoyed it a bit more than I should because I watched it in 4DX.
Yeah, 4DX is cool. I've heard of that. 4DX is when the theater like moves with the movie. So like if they're shaking, you're shaking.
That'd be fun.
The experience I've seen on TikTok looks kind of horrific at times because like people's food's going everywhere and shit.
I might be, but that'd be fun. That would make it a little sick.
Oh, you would definitely get car sick for sure. You kind of get car sick already.
Yeah. Next,
a lot of 1.5 reviews. You got to give me something nice.
I'm making my way up.
Okay, good, 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 good.
Then we have a 2-star review from the one and only Cinema Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, it seems obvious from Afterlife they wanted to give McKenna Grace the keys to the castle, as they should. But instead of moving forward, Frozen Empire takes 2 giant steps back, shoves 20 characters in your face, and practically begs you to remember the good old days to distract you from the fact that this franchise is out of gas.
Yeah, he's not wrong on that. I think 2's a little low, very low, but like, he's not wrong. And we talked about the McKenna Grace thing. What the fuck happened, man?
I don't know.
And again, the whole nostalgia thing, it really is. It just shoves it right into your face, which I was fine with, but it's also like, I feel like they're doing this to distract you from the fact that the movie itself doesn't trust its own plot, which is so sad because it should. It's a good plot.
Exactly. Remove 15 of the 20 plot lines and you have a good
movie. No, agreed. 100%. 100%. 100%. Yeah.
Next we
have 15 of the 20 characters.
Yes. A 3-star review from Chris Parker. They said, this was incredibly okay. I loved all of the new ghosts, gadgets, and expansion of the lore. It unfortunately suffers from being overbloated with characters, too many plot threads. I do appreciate the risks it takes with a few elements, but it doesn't always work. The villain build-up is great, but has a short, anticlimactic final battle. It's got hiccups, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Exactly what we said.
That's fair.
This literally encapsulates what we said in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
In our review. Next, we have a 4.5-star review.
Okay.
This is from the Greek Geek, and they said, this was better than Afterlife. Y'all don't know how to have fun.
I disagree.
This was a very unpopular opinion.
Yes.
Not many people agreed with this.
Yeah, disagree. I gave Afterlife 3.5 stars.
Yeah. A lot of
I think Afterlife is really good.
Preferred Afterlife.
Yeah.
And then the last one.
Leon.
A whopping 5-star review from Drew.
Does it just say Slimer back?
I was a Ghostbusters kid. These movies really shaped me growing up. I loved this. Afterlife was a great sequel with more emotion. This one is more fun. I really, really hope we get more with just the Spangler family and James Acaster. Who plays James Acaster? Who is James?
No, James Acaster plays Lars, I believe.
Okay. Legacy characters can be like one scene cameos from here on out. Except Ernie. He deserves more screen time.
I completely agree. Ernie deserves all the screen time.
Is he the one that...
He's the one that owns the building. He's the financier of literally everything.
Okay. That's like looking into researching all these other these things. Yeah.
He was fine. I was fine with him. Dan Aykroyd, honestly, I didn't even mind. It's just like he'd have been cool to pop in here and there, but I didn't mind him. It was Bill Murray. I love Bill Murray. But his character just felt so out of place with the rest of them because it's like the character is a very dated character.
Yeah. The last sentence of this review is, but this movie was just so fun and member berries and all.
Member berries and all. That's a South Park reference. Oh. You wouldn't get that. Member berries are like berries you take on South Park and it's like, do you remember the good old days? Okay. You remember?
I loved it. I don't care. So good. But yes, there was actually a review in here that I saw that I didn't want to read, but it said, you know, Bill Murray showed up for one day of filming just to collect the paycheck.
Yeah, for sure. His character walks that line of like unique
80s horniness. He doesn't want to be there anymore.
Well, the original character is this it's hard because he's funny, but also you're like, that's just sexual harassment.
Oh.
And it's not that funny anymore, man. And so I think that's why his character needed to be not in the movie because he is very... He's very uniquely 80s style horny, and it just doesn't play well. So, I mean, it was fine with him not being in it. I was fine with just Dan Aykroyd and Ernie, honestly.
Yeah.
So, those are the reviews?
Yeah.
Perfect. I have some questions for you, man.
Sounds good.
Are you
ready?
Let's roll into it. I want you to rank these themes, because we all know the Ghostbusters theme. It kicks ass, because bustin' makes me feel good. So I'm going to need you to rank these themes from these blockbuster movies. Ghostbusters, Halloween, Rocky, The Shining, and Star Wars.
All right.
From least favorite to favorite. Or from worst to best, however you want to do it.
Okay. I think this is going to crush you.
I know it is, because I put one in here specifically for you to hurt me.
The Shining.
Ah, there it is. I listened to that. I listened to the main theme. It's called main title from Shining probably like once or twice a week.
Yes. So good. Star Wars.
Really?
Yes.
Shocking.
Rocky.
Okay.
Halloween. Ghostbusters.
Hell yeah.
I just love the, I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
I mean, you were singing it all the way to the theater, even after the movie, the day before the movie, today. Like, you've been singing it constantly. I have too. It's very catchy. Very catchy.
And everyone and anyone and everyone knows Ghostbusters.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone knows that.
Anytime someone says, who you gonna call? Everyone around you will know to say Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, right. So there are too many characters in this movie.
Yeah.
It's fucking bloated as shit. I need you to cut one of these characters completely. Are you ready?
Okay.
Emily Lind, who plays Melody.
Yeah.
James Acaster as Lars. Or Patton Oswalt as Dr. Hubert. One's gotta go.
So, it would either be Melody or the doctor guy. Here's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think... You have to have some way to get Phoebe's character to want to risk turning into a ghost for someone.
Yes.
So that's the purpose of Melody.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's her sole purpose.
Absolutely.
I do think you could get by without the doctor explaining the lore behind.
Yeah, you could just have one of them do research, find it.
Yeah.
You know.
So the doctor. Is.
To me, it's got to be Lars. And I know it's really? a highly unpopular opinion.
People love him.
I know. I liked him too. This was actually hard because I do like these characters. They're just kind of not important. Melody, to me, is fine. She helps with McKenna Grace's whole character and the arc she goes on. I do think she stifles her a little bit, kind of holds the character back. Again, Patton Oswalt's character could have been resolved with like just, I don't know, a quick Google search. You know what I mean?
Right.
But to me, it's Lars because we spent a lot of time with him just going mumbo-jumbo bullshit. And if you're going to bring Lucky back, you might as well just have her be the Lars character.
That's true.
So that's just...
You know who is really unnecessary?
Who?
Podcast.
Super unnecessary. He doesn't need to be there at all. No. They only brought him back because it was like, let's just get the dude in the film.
He's not doing anything. And what is he doing? An internship with...
Dan Aykroyd, because at the end of the first one, he's like...
My parents think I'm at space camp.
Yeah, it's just...
That was dumb. Why? He doesn't need to be there.
At the end of Afterlife, we find out that Dan Aykroyd is podcast-only subscriber. And so he's like, they do an internship thing. But this takes place 3 years after the events of that.
That's crazy. So, yeah, that is kind of crazy.
Throwing that out there.
I think they should have had that. I think Paul Rudd should have had this discussion about if he can parent the kids way before now.
3 years,
they've been together for 3 years.
Right. Because Finn Wolfhard in the first movie is 15.
Yeah.
He lies about being 17. In this one, he is 18. Three years. Last one for you. Which of these ghosty ghosts would you rather live with as your roommate? We have Moaning Myrtle, Nearly Headless Nick, and Slimer.
Nearly Headless Nick.
Really? I'd go Slimer.
Really?
Yeah, because you know he's going to hang in one room. I'd put him in the attic. You have the whole house to yourself. Let him have the attic.
Yeah, but he's going to steal all my snacks. That's the problem.
That is true.
I already have to deal with that with you.
Yeah, I'm a snacky guy. So, hey, you want to live with me because I steal all your snacks all the time?
I buy us both one thing, and he'll eat all of his and then want to eat mine, too.
You take too long to eat them. All right. So that's it. I mean, we did the damn thing. We did the podcast. Yes. We talked about Frozen Empire and how it just fails to be anything but like somewhat entertaining. So there you go. Watch at your own risk. I would suggest you watch this if you're a fan of Ghostbusters. You probably should have watched it before you listened to it because we spoiled everything for you. But if you didn't, there you go.
I know. I always think about that when we do newer movies.
Right. It's like, did they watch this and then listen? Yeah, it is weird.
Sorry.
So you can find me... with my links down below, go ahead and click on that. Rate us wherever you listen. And with that said, go bust because it feels good and watch a movie.